I once heard a story, sort of a modern-day parable that I'd like to share with you this morning. It's about a little church that decided that they would start a monthly lunch after their worship time. A lot of churches do that, and so they thought that would be a good tradition to start. And one of the ladies in the church named Lucy offered to bring for everyone her secret recipe fried chicken. And so everybody brought dishes, but Lucy made her fried chicken, and it was a big hit. Everybody loved the fried chicken, and so month after month, Lucy continued to bring the fried chicken to the little church, and they enjoyed their time of fellowship after worship, and everybody loved the chicken so much that eventually the church council voted that instead of monthly, they really wanted to have a weekly lunch after worship because this fried chicken was just so delicious. And so they all came and they ate the delicious chicken, and it was so wonderful that then the people decided to invite their friends and their families to come and join them after worship for the fried chicken lunch. And so instead of 50 people each week, soon they had 70 and then 80 and then 100 people. And so Lucy, it was a lot of work, and so she found some helpers to cook the chicken with her. And so soon she had a small group of chicken fryers. And they happily cooked up the chicken for the hungry crowd each week. And the little church decided that because the crowd was getting so large that they would put up a tent behind the sanctuary. And then they could have even more people come in to hold all those folks who were flocking in to eat the fried chicken. And now it seemed that half the town was showing up after worship every week to enjoy the delicious fried chicken. Well, it wasn't long before the church voted to expand their building. They added a huge dining hall that was large enough to have tables for 300 people. And it was wonderful, and everybody enjoyed the fried chicken so much that soon they decided it wasn't just Sundays, but now they would also have their fried chicken dinners on Tuesday nights and Friday evenings, and it was a delicious, wonderful affair for everyone. So many people from the church, in fact, were needed to help cook the chicken that only a handful showed up for worship each week. But the fried chicken was so much a big hit that they didn't seem to mind that sacrifice. In fact, it was such a great hit that they voted to change the church sign out front. Instead of FCC, First Christian Church, they changed it to FFC, Famous Fried Chicken. And everybody thought that was a great idea. And nobody seemed to notice when the pastor resigned because they quickly turned his office into a walk-in refrigerator because they needed to hold all the chicken that was now delivered daily in these large trucks. Well, you get the point, right? That little church gave up being a church. Right? They gave up worship, they gave up preaching, they gave up prayer because everybody found something else that they seemed to like better than the gospel of Jesus. The truth is, and again, I don't know if that was a true story or not, but the truth is that it's easy for us to get distracted, right, from what Jesus calls the church to do and to be. And Jesus cautioned the church about this. Now, the last couple weeks we've been in Ecclesiastes, which you might have a hard time finding in the Old Testament. Today we're going to be in Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. Jesus cautioned the church about getting distracted, about taking our focus off of Him, about losing our passion for Him. In one of His seven letters to the seven churches that John sent the great revelation to, and so listen to these words. This is from Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can be rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There are two striking images in this letter that Jesus sort of dictated for John to write down to send off to the church at Laodicea. And by the way, that last line, and it's the same in all seven of the letters, means that the letter is to the people of Laodicea, but it's also going out to all the churches, and we believe also even still through the generations it comes even to our church as well. And so these two striking images, the first is Jesus spitting out the lukewarm water, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And then the second image is Jesus knocking at the door, waiting to be let in to the heart of a repentant believer, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But both of these images teach us something about Jesus, right? These are images of what Jesus is doing in the church and what he wants to do in our lives. But these images also speak about the condition of the church. And not just the church of Laodicea 2,000 years ago, but even our church today and the church around the world as we stand here this morning. Now, Laodicea was a real place. In fact, it was a town, a city in what is modern-day Turkey, kind of the western side of modern-day Turkey. And in Laodicea, there was a real church, a real congregation that John was meant to send this letter to, and the whole revelation that he received as John was in exile. You remember the story, John's in exile, he receives the revelation, and then some of his associates, who I guess were able to visit him there, were able to carry these letters, these revelations off to these churches, including the congregation in Laodicea. Now, we don't know a lot about that church. We know some things about the town where they lived and where that church existed. But as we read this letter, as we study some about that time in history, we get some clues about what that church was like. And it turns out that the church in Laodicea was not that different than the church in America today. And so I want to give a little bit of attention to what that means. Both churches, the church of Laodicea 2,000 years ago, as well as the church in America today, which we are a part of course, both existed within a wealthy society. They had plenty of means around them. Both also had a high view of themselves. They thought of themselves as sort of a leader among churches. Each also accepted sinful behaviors within the church as well as the society around them as sort of commonplace. Just how it is. Everybody sins, right? And both think that everything is just fine in their church and maybe even in the community around them until Jesus comes and says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. So as we dig into this passage, I want us to think about the American church today. And I want to let Jesus' words of rebuke, which is what they are, and correction, which is what he's calling us to do, to repent, to turn away from the faults and the weaknesses in our spiritual lives and the life of the church and the world around us. I want to let these words sink into our hearts a little bit today. Now, as I say this, I don't want you to think that I have a low opinion of our congregation, even though we are a part of the American church, and maybe to some degree we join in some of the weaknesses of the American church. Nor do I want you to think that what I'm saying today is about the covenant denomination, although again, the covenant denomination exists here in North America. And maybe we participate in and are a part of what we see in the larger church around us. But I do hope we'll give some serious thought to some of the challenges, some of the weaknesses that we see in the body of Christ today throughout our nation, and how some of those may be reflective of what the church in Laodicea experienced all those generations ago. Some of these challenges and weaknesses may also, it's true, affect our church, our congregation, may even affect our own spiritual walks. And I'll leave that up to you as we listen to Jesus' words, as you think about this in your own hearts, of what Jesus might be saying to you and to us, and if he may have a bit of a word of correction for us today. So let's start with this. Jesus warns his church against feeling comfortable. Against feeling comfortable. Jesus doesn't want our faith to be like lukewarm water. And you ask, what does that mean? What is Jesus upset with, the lukewarm water of their faith? Well, water that's been sort of left out to sit until it's tepid, it's room temperature. Maybe it was a nice refreshing glass of iced tea. That's my favorite drink at home. But if you let it sit too long, the ice melts. And instead of nice and cooling and refreshing, it becomes room temperature and not nearly as delicious. Or maybe you're someone who likes a nice, steaming, hot cup of coffee in the morning, but if you don't get to it right away, what happens? It cools off, and it's not nearly as delicious as, not that coffee ever tastes good. Does anybody think coffee tastes good? But it's at least palatable when it's hot, right? But once it's room temperature, believe me, it's no good. You see, for the church at Laodicea, and I think for the American church today, Jesus says your faith has become lukewarm. You're feeling content in your wealth, feeling content with sort of the acceptance of the culture around you, and so you've just sort of let things hang out and sit and either cool off or warm up or wherever you started, whatever you thought you were at one point, but now it's just become kind of tepid. We don't need anything. Everything's fine. Week after week, year after year, traditions on top of traditions, we go through the motions, we never face any real threats, any real challenges or worries or changes. And rarely do we see any spiritual growth, no deepening of faith. We never really learn to rely on God because, frankly, we don't have that many struggles or worries or difficulties. We're not persecuted like some parts of the world are. We don't see any low points. That's good, but we don't see any real high points either, neither hot nor cold. Just kind of ordinary, boring, lukewarm religion. Now, the pandemic of 2020 that we're all living through has been a wake-up call for the church. There's no doubt about that. How much do we really trust in God through hard times? And the church is facing hard times right now. How strong is our faith in His healing power? Do we really trust that God is going to not just get us through this time, but bless us as we come out of this time? That it will be God's provision that will help us to overcome the difficulties that we face now. Is that our faith? How deeply do we care during this time when we can't all be together, and what a blessing that we have this many in the room today, but how deeply do we care about our fellowship and our worship as we struggle through this difficult time? You see, for too long, the American church has just kind of floated along, supported by the wealth of the society in which we happen to live, free to worship. And I know people complain about, oh, they shut down the churches, they locked down the churches, and I know that's a bad thing. I agree it's a bad thing. But here we are, back in worship, free to worship. The church in America is accepted by most people, despite the criticisms that we may make a lot of from time to time. We are even respected by many in our culture so long as we don't push too hard to share the gospel, right? Do those nice, loving things that the church is supposed to do, but don't tell us about Jesus. As long as we walk that line, then people will like us. As long as we don't talk too loudly about Jesus. In fact, our culture is happy to make room for churches as long as we have lukewarm faith, right? As long as we don't get too loud, too preachy. As long as we stay inside of our buildings, right? Because the world says, go do what you want to do there, that's fine. Just don't bring it out into the culture. Don't tell other people that they need to become like you. You see, that would be a sign that our faith is getting too warm if we were to do that sort of thing. And that's pretty much how the church has operated for the last several generations. Nice, comfortable, lukewarm. We leave the world alone, they leave us alone. But then Jesus comes along and he says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's not a pleasant image. And then Jesus says, you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Again, not a pleasant image. And we can't ignore those words. I know they were spoken to a church that we don't know about in a place we've never been 2,000 years ago. But they also echo, because they're Jesus' words, carried by the Holy Spirit, they echo into our generation. And so Jesus counsels the church. He says, buy gold and buy new clothes and buy salve, each of these being symbolic of the salvation, the new life that he wants to give us. Something that is better than what this world can offer us. Something that's better than what we have settled for too long in the church. The nice, comfortable, lukewarm sort of faith. And Jesus says it's not good enough. We need to find those things that only he can give us. That he died on the cross so that we could have, so that we could have a vibrant, living, hot faith. So this leads us to our next message from Jesus' letter to Laodicea. And that is that Jesus calls his church to repent from lukewarm faith and to deepen our relationship with him. And so now we come to the second image of Jesus standing at the door knocking. And I know we've seen this image, or we've heard this image, or you've seen a famous painting of this image, and we think of it often as a form of evangelism or an image of evangelism. Jesus knocking on the heart of the unbeliever, if you'll open up, then I'll come in and give you new life. And that's a nice image, but it's not what this passage is about. This passage is written to the church. It's written to believers. This passage is about repentance. And so we hear these words again from Jesus. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And then he goes into the image. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. I'm waiting for you to open your heart to me. I'm waiting for you to repent. And so you ask, well, what do we need to repent of? We're good people. Here we are in church Sunday morning. What do we need to repent of? Well, I think it's the exact problem that Jesus was calling the Laodicean church to repent of, and that is lukewarm faith. We should repent for feeling comfortable with the world and in the world, and for trusting in the wealth that God has given us instead of trusting in His provision day by day. We should repent for caring more about the needs of the church than about the needs of the community and the lost around us. What Jesus wants from his church is to seek after him with energy and faith and joyful commitment. He wants us to worship him with hearts filled with love. He wants us to read and obey his word. And he wants us to join in his mission of sharing his love, sharing his message with the world around us. And those are things that we can only do when our faith is hot, when it's fully heated up with the presence of the Holy Spirit moving among us and not just floating along comfortably. But when we feel the heat of the Holy Spirit giving us that passion to go out and share Jesus' love and message with the world. One of the clearest examples of lukewarm faith that we may fall into from time to time is becoming or being a part-time Christian. And I think we see this all the time, and I won't name names or point fingers, because we all do this from time to time. And it's acting like a person of faith when we come to church on Sunday morning, or when we show up for a Bible study, or when we show up to a leadership team meeting, or whatever it is you do at church. Oh, I'm a good Christian person, going to that good Christian thing. Talking like other believers when you're around other believers. But then acting more like the world when you go off to church, or when you go out into the neighborhood, or even when you're at home and around other people who maybe don't expect you to act like a Christian. And when you're around people who don't know Jesus, then you act like people who don't know Jesus. And that's what lukewarm faith looks like. Because the water of your faith quickly cools off. Just turns kind of room temperature, the temperature of the world around you. And when you take your focus off of Jesus, off of His will for you, if you're only working for Jesus, if you're only walking with Him one day or 2 days a week, then the other 5 days a week you're out in the world and your faith quickly turns into that lukewarm water. And so instead, we need to open up God's Word every single day. We need to pray often throughout our days. We need to listen to the voice of the Spirit speaking to us everywhere we go and everything that we do. What are you saying to me, God? What are you calling me to do right now? We need to share Jesus' love and message everywhere we go, and especially when we're not at the church. Especially when we're not around believers. We need to repent of that lukewarm faith. And we need to seek to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Now, there's one more important message that this letter speaks to us, and that is that Jesus invites His church to win victory over lukewarm faith. Listen again, as Jesus finishes His letter, and all seven of His letters follow kind of the same format, and the last part of each of the letters is sort of a word of encouragement, a calling to join with Jesus in overcoming the challenges and the difficulties of this world. And so here He says, to the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father in His throne. So you say, well, what is our victory? What is the victory that we can gain along with Jesus? We know what His victory was. Jesus gained victory dying on the cross and rising again. And therefore, Jesus was exalted to the highest place, there at God's right hand, seated in the heavenly throne, now interceding for us. We know Jesus' victory. But what about us? How do we gain victory in this world? Well, one of the ways we do it, following the letter that Jesus has just sent out to the church of Laodicea and that He's speaking to us, is that we can repent. We can turn away from sin. We can turn away from that lukewarm faith, and we can turn toward the good things that God has called us to do and to become in this life. We turn away from the lukewarm and weak and fruitless faith, and we turn toward a hot faith that honors Jesus, that obeys God's Word, that boldly shares Jesus' love and message with people in need around us. You see, Jesus won the greatest victory that the world has ever known over sin and over death, and we get to benefit from that victory, but we also get to join with Jesus in that victory when we turn away from our own sinfulness and when we join with Him in living the life of resurrection, the new life that He's given us. And it's a life not of lukewarm faith, not of just floating along, not of just accepting things as they are, but it's a life of seeking after more of God and growing deeper in our faith and reaching out with greater love and compassion to those around us and sharing His message with people in need. Jesus wants this sort of victory for His church. He wants His church not to be lukewarm, not to be floating along. He wants His church to be victorious. And so instead of being people who are inwardly focused, people who are bound by our traditions that keep us just floating along, instead of being a church that just appeases the culture around us or just wants to get along so that the culture will leave us alone, Jesus wants a powerful, faithful, Spirit-filled church that proclaims His name in strength and in love. The church in America today faces real challenges. And we've talked about this even before the pandemic. And now we're at this moment that is really becoming a crisis in the church, with so many churches struggling to survive. And we should be grateful that our church is holding on pretty well. Financially, we're still stable. We're here worshiping together. Others can worship from home. God is blessing us in many ways, but we see the church today deeply struggling in our country and around the world. The challenges that we face are from the world, are in the world. There are also the financial struggles that so many churches face, but the greatest struggles that we face today in the church are not because of the pandemic, not because of financial concerns. The greatest struggles of the church in America today is because of lukewarm faith. And so we're called today to pray for revival, to pray that the Holy Spirit would do a mighty work in the church, to heat up the faith of believers, to give us new energy and focus and commitment, to ask God to use His church to do mighty things in this world that is facing so many tremendous needs, and to join with Jesus in winning the victory over sin and darkness in this world. So let's pray that God would use us in those ways. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You for calling us to not be content with where we are, what we've done, but to always seek more of You, to always seek to do more for You and in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us for those ways that we've gotten comfortable in our faith, that we've allowed the church to become lukewarm. Lord, give us strength that is renewed by Your Spirit to reach out to our world. And Father, it's hard right now. It's hard to see the needs around us and maybe to feel that we're limited in what we can do. But Lord, remind us to pray. Give us the courage to support those who are reaching out in very practical, meaningful ways, like the rescue mission that we heard about earlier and other ministries that we support here in Rockford. And Lord, for our neighbors, even our families, as we see them, as we can speak words of love, as we can reach out to them, Lord, give us the courage we need. Give us that Spirit-filled, hot faith that we need to make a difference in this world. Lord, we thank You for Your grace that covers over our sin. We thank You for Your Spirit that empowers us. And we pray these things in Jesus, who is our Savior. Amen.